Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. Hello, you.
Hello. How are you?
Are you okay? Yeah, are you okay?
I am. I'm good. Now, this is, I guess, this is quite an exciting episode because it's one of, well, it's the first of our amazing stories episodes, which is something we've wanted to do for a long time, isn't it, Zoe?
Yeah, so we had a conversation a couple of months back where we have this meeting every week, and we all kind of came to the conclusion that we wanted to hear more from you guys listening all around the sort of, I guess, the obstacles that you're overcoming in your life, your amazing birth stories, any trauma that you've experienced that you wanted to share, and just in a way kind of trying to bring the community closer together by understanding who our listeners are and just like delving deeper into the lives of, in inverted commas, you know, you guys, like all of you guys listening. And so we put it out on our Instagram. We asked people to send in their amazing stories, and we're going to handpick people to sit down and have these beautiful conversations with. So today is the first one. Now, we want to warn you, today's conversation is an incredibly difficult one to hear.
Yeah.
I found it, I know you did as well, George, because you know this amazing lady, but I found it very, very traumatic. It's very, very, very sad. Her story is very sad.
Yeah.
But very inspiring at the same time, the way that she's coping with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know this lady, and I think when someone is going through something in their lives, particularly like illness, like she is, and you almost, I watched her. She actually reached out to me when she'd just been diagnosed. And it really hits home how quickly your life can just change in a second. You know, our lives are quite similar. We've both got, you know, two children. Like, we live in a similar area. Our husbands know each other. Like, it's just one of those things where because someone is going through something so awful and you, I guess, your lives are so parallel, it really hits home. And but like Zoe said, she is dealing with it. Well, she says she's not, but I think she is, and so did you. We all came away saying like she is being incredibly positive, but you can see how, you know, how difficult life is right now for her. And for her to come on while she is going through it, you know, this isn't a story where we know the ending. We don't. It's still very much happening right now. And actually, that's a bit of a trigger warning. You know, if you have been affected or you're going through breast cancer right now, then and you don't feel like you could listen to this, then obviously just switch off. But if you do know anybody who you think this episode might help, then do share it with them as well.
Yeah. And also, you know, today's guest gave us a really beautiful insight into how she's feeling, how she's coping with it, but also what she needs from other people. You know, it's I think sometimes when people get diagnosed with something like this and they're going through treatment and they lose their hair and, you know, their whole life changes, we don't really know what to say. So we don't really understand how to be there to support them. So we talk about that as well. She was such a beautiful soul. We absolutely adore today's guest. And we want to start off by saying thank you so much for coming on and sharing your incredibly brave story. So Georgia, let's get into the conversation. Who are we talking to today?
We're chatting to the gorgeous Rosie Fawahimi about her journey with breast cancer.
So a very special moment on the podcast today that was born from a conversation between Georgia and myself and the lovely producer Charlotte a couple of months ago, where I said in a meeting, I think it would be really amazing if we heard from some incredible mums that have an amazing, uplifting, inspiring and potentially sad story to tell. Experiences that they've been living through or have been through that Georgia and I wanted to share with you guys. Mm. And today is the first of our incredible stories. We are joined with somebody who is right in the middle of, well, I wouldn't want to put words in her mouth, but probably the worst moment of her life. Mum to two, model. Her name is Rosie Fawahimi. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And she's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous. Face. And she's wearing a great outfit. It's actually funny because this morning we posted like World Book Day outfits, and Rosie messaged me and she said, oh my God, the kids are wearing exactly the same thing. They're twins. Oh, that would be funny if we turned up in the same outfit today. And no joke, we actually...
Guys!
You know when you think, I mean, we're not going to turn up in the same outfit. And then you walked in and I was like, oh, no, we are.
Are you both working for Never Fully Dressed on the podcast today?
Never Fully Dressed, baggy jeans and Adidas trainers.
Well, you look gorgeous. You're rocking it. Rosie, welcome to Made by Mamas. Just for anybody listening, obviously, I just mentioned in the introduction there that you're going through what could be described as the worst moment of your life. Would you like to just tell us your story to date?
Yes, so I am currently going through breast cancer treatment. I am just over halfway through my chemotherapy. And yeah, I've got quite a way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I saw you in August. Mm. You're a model.
Yeah.
And you were on a job and that I was at as well. Not modelling, behind the scenes.
Georgia, where?
And, you know, that was August. And what was the date that you got your diagnosis?
I actually had found the lump then.
Yeah.
But I hadn't been to the doctors yet. It was still summer holidays for the kids and I was just so busy. So I found the lump in the shower, literally just washing. And I
Whereabouts
wasn't...
Whereabouts was it?
It's in my right breast and it's kind of on the, they call it the lateral side, I think. And it was quite far in, like, unless... I could feel it, but it's quite deep and I've got small boobs. And I was always going to get it checked, but I actually wasn't that worried at all. I was just kind of waiting until I had time. So it's about 2 weeks after. But I remember being on that shoot and actually thinking about it. Wow. And yeah, so I went to the doctor and I just thought she was going to say it's nothing. Like, I've got this weird lump on my leg that I've been to see before, and I just thought she'd say, yeah, it's fine. And she said, there is a lump there, I'm not worried about it, but I'm going to send you to the breast clinic. It's like a one-stop shop thing, and you'll kind of have a doctor will see you, then they may do a CT scan, they may take a biopsy if they need to. And literally 2 weeks to the day after I went to the breast clinic, someone checked me. Then they said, we want you to have a CT scan. And in the CT scan, they wanted to take a biopsy. And I was on my own because I didn't think any of this really was going to happen. And the biopsy is quite traumatic. Mm. It's like a really loud click and they have to numb it. And I was crying already at this point because I was thinking, don't know, this is not good. And I said to her, is it a milk duct, a block milk duct or anything like that? And she said, no, it's either a fibroadenoma or it is cancer, but I'm not sure. So that's why we're taking the biopsy. And
oh my God.
Yeah, I left there like sob. I couldn't breathe. I was sobbing. And yeah, they said it will be 2 weeks before I find out my results. And yeah, it was nearly 2 weeks. And I got a email through from the NHS app saying that I had an appointment at the breast clinic. And the next day, I got another appointment through for the following day. So I rang them and I said, hi, you've sent me two appointments. Mm-hmm. Which one is it? And she said, you've actually got two, one on Thursday and one on Friday. So I was like, panic. I said, why would I have two appointments? Can you tell me? And she said, well, the one on Friday is for genetics. And I said, well, what are they going to tell me? Are you going to tell me that I've got cancer? And she said, I'm just a receptionist. I don't know what they're going to say. And I was frantic. That was 2 days before. Like, I was ringing everybody that I knew who had gone through like a biopsy and said, did you get that, like, two things? Have you had a genetic test? One of my sister's friend has been through it, and she said, that's the BRCA gene test, the genetics. And that was probably the one of the worst times through this, those 2 days, because in my head, I just knew they were going to tell me something bad, but you don't know how bad, you know, like, yeah.
Where does your mind go in those days?
Just for me, like the kids, just that's all, that's really all that is at the forefront of my mind, you know, like, I just want to be there.
How old are your children?
Rudy is going to be 5 in June, and Ray is now 18 months. I found out 8 days before her birthday, her first birthday.
So, Rosie, let's go back to you get the email saying that you have the first appointment, which is on the Thursday. So, obviously, you know, your partner knows. You're talking to friends about it. So, are you going into that appointment thinking they're going to deliver bad news here? Or was there still an element of hope?
I knew they were going to deliver me bad news. The only hope that I had was I'd spoken to them on the phone and they didn't tell me to bring anyone with me. And I just thought, surely they will not deliver that news and not tell you to bring anyone. That was my only hope.
That's wild.
That is. Did you bring anyone with you?
I had my mum and Charlie, my partner, because I knew they were going to say something bad. And when we walked into the room, there was the consultant and there was a lady in the corner with a cancer lanyard around her neck. And as soon as I saw her in the room, I just knew that Yeah.
And what did they say?
I can't actually remember. All of those appointments are, you just like, you lose your head. Like, every time they give me bad news, it's really hard to absorb the information.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of record things now and stuff because it's hard. But they were really nice. And at the time, my diagnosis wasn't that, not that bad. But it was, I'd caught the lump early, stage 1, grade 2.
Okay.
And I would be having a lumpectomy and 3 weeks radiotherapy. And it's completely treatable.
Okay.
So there was a bit of hope.
And so you left that appointment and what happened? What happened that day?
We were all in complete and utter shock, really. I think my mum and Charlie were in real shock. I'd kind of thought that it was going to be bad. I think they had more hope than I did. And then I got taken to like a quiet room and I rang my dad, who was on holiday, because when I went for the biopsy, nobody thought this was going to be the outcome. And that was really hard, really, really hard. I'm super close with my dad. And then straight away I had to go and have a mammogram. And then I, that day, went downstairs for a blood test for this BRCA gene test. And then,
now, let's talk about the BRCA gene.
Yeah.
So my cousins have had, both sets of cousins have had double mastectomies because they've got the BRCA2 gene.
Oh, that's interesting.
BRCA2 or BRCA1?
I have BRCA1, but there's also the BRCA2.
Yes. So they've had them as a precaution, precautionary measure. And then one of my cousin's daughters has also just had the genetic test done. And she.
What's the difference between BRCA1 and BRCA2?
They just differ slightly in the percentage of your risk in getting breast cancer, ovarian cancer.
Yep.
BRCA2 is actually better in those and worse for the pancreatic and the prostate, I believe. BRCA1, the risk for breast cancer is very high, around 85% from the age of 35. And I got it when I was 35. So really high.
So at this point, you're 35 years old, dealing with the fact that you've got breast cancer. Not something that a 35-year-old might think they would get.
No, not at all.
Was that what was going through your head?
Yeah, definitely. I just didn't know anyone my age that's had it. I didn't think of it as being common. I thought of it as something that older people get.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it was just the biggest shock ever.
Wow.
Really scary.
And, I mean, we'll come on to how the treatment's been and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But you mentioned that initially there was hope and that, you know, the news was as positive as it could be. How has that changed?
So the following day after I found out, we went to the Bell Sit the day I found out.
I love the Bell Sit.
A lovely restaurant in Essex. And my mum and sister went there. It was just like, you just don't know what to do with yourself, really. Mm. And then I acted normal, picked the kids up from school, took a picture of us three. I wrote them a letter that night. I've not read it again since. But, you know, like, the following day I was having an MRI. I've never had an MRI before. Mm-hmm. And it was first thing in the morning, like 9 o'clock. You have to lay there completely still on your front. And I was trying not to sob. My body was shaking and I was just laying there thinking, like, what the hell is, like, I cannot believe I'm here. Mm-hmm. And that was really scary because you're waiting to see if it's spread into your lymph nodes, into your anywhere else in my chest.
And it's that awful,
you're not allowed. Ages.
And you're alone with your thoughts.
Yeah. And at that point, you're just waiting to see, like, how. So from the biopsy, they can only see a very tiny picture of what is actually going on.
Okay.
So that's why they do the MRI and things like that. I did end up exactly 2 weeks later, the treatment, they were so fast. I had my lumpectomy. So they removed the lump. And unfortunately, 2 weeks you have to wait for the results, and I didn't get a clear margin. So they take the lump out, then they take about a centimetre around it to make sure that that tissue is healthy, and one of the edges wasn't. So I had to then wait 2 more weeks and have another surgery.
Which, so they have to take more of the breast.
Yeah, and that really, I don't know, I just thought it was going to be fine and it wasn't. Then I was worried about that tissue still being in there and is it spreading? You don't know how it all works and how it spreads, and that really scared me. They decided to send my tumour to America for a test called an Oncotype test, and that tells you how likely you are to get reoccurrence.
Okay.
And I scored a really high score, which is very scary to know that I've got a high chance of reoccurrence. So that's why they decided to give me adjuvant chemotherapy.
What is that?
Adjuvant means that you have chemotherapy after you've had the lumpectomy. So the disadvantage of that is I'm having this chemotherapy and they can't see the tumour shrinking because it's gone. So a lot of people have the chemotherapy first to shrink it, and you can tell how effective the chemotherapy is being. For me at the moment, we don't know. However, now that I've got the BRCA1 gene, I will be having a double mastectomy, so they will be checking all of the breast tissue to make sure that there is nothing left in it, so we will find out if I've like benefited from it, basically.
I mean, there's so much to ask here. How do you feel about the prospect of losing both your breasts?
It's really weird. I like my boobs. They're small. They're pert. I've breastfed 2 kids and they still look all right, even with the lumpectomy, because the scar is at the side and my lump was so small, you actually probably wouldn't even know that I've had anything. So, I am upset about that. However, I think that it's probably in the long run going to be best for me not worrying, because that was something I've asked over and over, like, are you sure that I shouldn't be having a mastectomy? But they say that a lumpectomy alongside radiotherapy is the same as having a mastectomy. But in your brain, you know, especially knowing that I have a high chance of it coming back,
it's the breast cancer or cancer
from my original biopsy. My hormone receptors, you have 3, one of them was ER+5, and basically that means it's positive for the estrogen but it's low, so they were going to give me tamoxifen afterwards that blocks the hormone, and that's like going to stop it being able to come back. However, this Oncotype test said that I'm triple negative, which said that all of the 3 receptors were negative, and that's the worst cancer to have because there's no other treatment for it. There is only chemotherapy, where the others all have a targeted hormone treatment. But my cancer, the block of the tumour, has been retested here twice. It's actually at UCLH now that Barts have sent for a second opinion, because mine is very complicated. Even though it's a small tumour, different parts of it are showing different receptors, but the most part is the triple negative. So that's why I'm being treated for that. But afterwards, I am going to be having tamoxifen to block it. And I'm eventually going to have my ovaries out, which will do the same thing.
Oh my gosh.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Throughout this process, what would you say, been aside from the treatment, what has been the hardest thing to deal with day to day?
There's a lot of waiting in between for test results, and that's really hard. And also, I feel like I've had the worst news. On when I've been waiting for things, we've always kind of had the worst outcome. Mm. I was literally meant to be done by Christmas, just having the lumpectomy. Then I had to have the surgery again and just radio. Mm-hmm. And now I'm having chemotherapy. I'm having aggressive chemotherapy because triple negative is aggressive. I just didn't want it. No one wants it. You don't know what you're going into. But once you've started, it's not as bad as you think, but it's the unknown always. Having my tour of the chemo ward was just awful. It's a really sad place to be. And that waiting room, it took all of my power not to burst into tears. But there's people, there's everyone there, so you don't want to upset anybody else. But that's hard.
Do you talk to people in that waiting room?
Sometimes. And so in the chemo ward, there's usually 6 or 8 beds. They're kind of seat beds. And sometimes you don't talk because some people don't want to talk. Sometimes I don't want to talk. But I've met a few younger girls. There's a lot of young people. Well, not a lot, but I have met young people. Yeah. Obviously, most people are older. But I've met 2 girls. You're both younger than me, both with breast cancer. Very similar stories. Found it in the shower. That seems to be the thing. So I've actually made some really
have
nice
you?
Friends through this. Yeah, I have. I really have.
Looking at you now, we can see that you have no hair.
No.
How and what are you saying to your children? How are you saying it?
The hair loss was one of the worst parts for me. It was just, I tried the cold cap. I really, really wanted to save my hair. And more than anything, it was for the kids. For Rudy. I didn't want to lose my hair. Unfortunately, it didn't work for me. And the hair loss was fast. I thought it was going to be more gradual. Mm-hmm. And I lost my hair, started coming out on Christmas Day.
What was that moment like?
It was just really upsetting. It was just horrible. And it came out really, really fast. And one day I was in the shower and the pressure of the water, just my hair was pouring down my body. And I was sobbing, and Rudy was trying to get in the shower with me. And Charlie was at the door looking it was like a horror film. Honestly, I didn't know your hair can come out like that. And it just got thinner and thinner. And then one day I was at a museum, that balloon museum that everyone goes to, and I was boiling, but I didn't want to take my hat off because my hair looked so shit. It was so, so thin. I just looked ill, and that's what I didn't want to look. So the following week I decided to, I wanted my sister to shave it, but the first chemo I was on, I felt awful for about 6 days and really low. And I needed to wait till I was through those 6 days to be able to shave it and know that I was going to be ready to do it.
And how did the kids react?
Ray cried her eyes out. She's got a photo. She didn't like it at all. And Rudy, he's been fine. And one day he's got a best friend called Harper. And first of all, I cut it into a bob. And she loved it. So she cut hers into a bob.
Aww.
And then one day when I went there, once I'd shaved my hair, she didn't know. And she was walking in through the garden and I took my hat off. And I could see her looking at me. And then she said, Rosie, why have you got no hair? And I said, oh, Harper, it was all coming out, so I've had to shave it, but it's going to grow back soon. And she just went, ugh. And Rudy just walked over and he just kissed my forehead, my head. He kissed my head. And honestly, it was just so sweet because he decided to do that on his own. And yeah, I don't think he's bothered at all. So
does he know?
Yeah, I was going to say.
But he knows it's upset me. Yeah, I couldn't hide it.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
Does he know what you're going through? I mean, he's similar age to Gigi.
Yeah.
There's only a certain understanding that they will have at that age. Mm. But what does he know? What have you chatted to him? Or
I haven't said the word. I don't want him to know that word at the moment. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't know what other people will say to him and stuff. He just knows that I've been poorly because sometimes I stay at my mum's, usually the day I have chemo. And obviously when I had surgery, I couldn't lift them at all for, it was meant to be a while, but, you know, it was probably about 3 days. But, yeah, so he knows that I'm poorly and I go to hospital quite a lot, but he doesn't know why. He knows it's about my boobie because I've had to say that. I've got a PICC line in my arm, so he has to be careful of my arm. But he doesn't know what really is happening.
How are you managing?
Two young children as well, like day to day.
How are you doing it? I would be a mess.
I am a mess quite a lot. I cry most days just because things happen and I'm sad. If people ask me how I am, I often just burst into tears because, you know, it's not the best time in my life and I'm scared. But the kids, like, they get me up every day. I have to be positive. I have to get on with life. And I think, actually, it's for the best. They're getting me through it. But it's also why it's so scary because, like, they're all I care about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't probably help but think of the worst.
Yeah. You can't. And that's the thing. At the beginning, everybody was saying I was going to be okay. Well, you know, not many people knew for the first 3 months, just my close friends and family. And they were doing the Googling. I did not Google anything. I was too scared. I didn't let my brain think about it at night or really too deep because I knew I wouldn't sleep. But as it's all gone on, you know, I have got a very aggressive type of breast cancer and I also have the BRCA1 gene. So, you know, people die from this every single day. So it's very scary. Like, I hope I'm going to be okay. And hopefully all of this treatment and having the double mastectomy is going to give me the best chance. But, you know.
It's such a strange question to ask, but I'm going to ask it. How have you thought about your death? Have you thought about dying? Or are you trying to keep as positive as possible? Because I think if it was me, I'm the person that those intrusive thoughts, they come, I would have to stare it. And
yeah.
I'd have to not be okay with it, but try and make some sort of sense of it if that is a thing.
Yeah, I guess I have thought about it because I've started making books up for the kids, like photo books.
Yeah.
But I don't think about it too much.
Yeah, you can't let yourself go there too much.
It's so hard anyway, this journey. Honestly, it's like tough in so many ways. It's the most mentally draining thing I've ever been through.
Of course.
Mm.
Are there any positives that you've taken out of the experience? As in, has it made you look... Oh, I imagine it's made you look at life in a totally different way.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah. So first of all, I'd say the kindness of people. Honestly, I have had, like, people reach out that I haven't seen in years and years, like... maybe 20 years, old friends that you just don't see anymore. And a lot of boys actually that I know, when we were younger, they lost their mums to breast cancer. Mm. And obviously when you're young, a teenager, you don't realise the impact, but those kind of people have reached out. A friend, like people have wrote me poems and sent me like lovely gifts, people that I'm not even close to. Yeah. And it's usually people that have been touched by cancer and you really realise the impact of it. So yeah, people's kindness has definitely like overwhelmed me. And also just for me, I am going to, once, it's really hard at the moment, I'm not living life to the full. I barely leave my house. I'm just at the home, school run, hospital. But I'm really not sweating the small stuff anymore. Things that used to, like, piss me off before, it's just not worth it. And also your energy, I'm a lot more, like, say no to things I don't want to do.
Yeah.
And really make the most of, I can't wait to go on holiday. Like, I've realised what is really important to me and our family, and I'm definitely going to make the most of those things when this is over.
That's great. Mm. Is there a pressure to make, like, special memories? You know, like Christmas, Easter, like all of those. Is there... How are those kind of moments? Because I think for a lot of people, it's usually those times that can be harder.
Yeah. Well, Ray's birthday party was 3 days after my diagnosis.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, when I was still waiting for, like, the MRI. And so, obviously, my family and some close friends knew. And I was going to cancel it. And then I was like, no, I have to do it because I don't know if this is going to be her last birthday, first birthday I ever do. So I just texted the people that knew and said, don't get eye contact with me. Don't ask me how I am. Mm-hmm. Don't hug me. I just want to have this day and not, I need to get through it. And it was the best day ever. The sun was shining, even though it was the end of September. We had a party in the park and it was really, really good. And I didn't cry and it was like amazing. But you know, Mother's Day coming up this year, like soon, is it this Sunday?
Yeah.
For me, I am thinking like, will this be, you know, every one of these events could be my last. That's how I do think about it. So yeah, I am trying to make the most of those days.
That's not going to happen.
It's not. It's definitely
I want to scream it from the rooftops. Yeah. How has it impacted your relationship with Charlie?
It's hard. Obviously, there's a lot of pressure at the moment. He's had to give up football for now because it's just too much. He's got a full-time job. He runs his own football camp and he was playing football, so it was kind of, he was stretched, I would say. He would say he wasn't, but we were stretched.
Yeah.
And so he's had to sacrifice that, which is an income, and it's his release. That's why he plays football. Mm-hmm. And he basically, my dad usually takes me to chemo. He won't have it any other way. And Charlie kind of looks after the kids. And that's because it's just easier for them to be in a routine and them be with their dad. It's less interference, really. Yeah. But I think he does feel a bit removed from the stuff that's happening. But yeah, I don't know. I'm sleeping in the spare room as well to have a good night's sleep. And he's doing the nights, really. Our kids aren't very good at sleeping. So he's taken on a lot and he's been amazing.
Really hard. Both of you in your own ways. I mean...
And I guess for you as well, you just mentioned, you know, Charlie sacrificing the income through football, but you're a model. Mm-hmm. And I guess that means you're not working right now.
Yeah, I haven't really worked. I've worked a little bit before I started chemo, but I had the surgery, so I couldn't work. Then I had surgery again, I couldn't work. I had to cancel things because of so many appointments you have. And haven't worked. I'm hoping to. I just had some new pictures. I'm hoping someone might want to use me to spread awareness. But yeah, I haven't got an income and it's hard.
Where are you now with your treatment?
I am just over halfway through chemo. Mm-hmm. The chemo I'm on now is so much better than the first one. I feel like I can do normal things every day. I am a bit tired. I do feel a bit sick. And there's some other weird side effects, but I'm okay. I only just found out 6 months into my diagnosis that I have the BRCA1 gene. So my first test got lost and never made its way to Great Portland. What's it called? Great Ormond Street. That's where they do the genetic testing. So that was a big blow when I found that out a couple of weeks ago. I thought I was counting down chemo and that was going to be, I'm nearly done. But now I've found out I have to have a double mastectomy.
After the chemo's finished?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I will be having my ovaries and fallopian tubes out. They recommend before 40, but I would like to do it ASAP because I just can't. I just want all of the risk
gone. You want it done.
Yeah.
And gone. So has your sister and, like, I guess Ray and...
Yeah.
Will they be tested?
My sister had a private test yesterday because, again, you wait a long time and she's a priority. She's only 2 years younger than me. And now we know how high the risk is. She wants to get tested. Yeah, she's been tested. My mum and dad are waiting through the genetic testing at Great Ormond Street because there's not so much of a rush on them. So we're just going to go through the process with them. But that's a really scary prospect for my mum and dad, you know, to go through this with, you know, my sister. And also for her, it would be really hard. I know you just said that your family have taken the preventative steps, which is amazing. And it's so brave. Mm-hmm. It's really, really brave. But yeah, so that's where we're at with that. And I went to an amazing event the other day that I listened to your podcast with Carly Musa, and she runs an event at Future Dreams House, which is a breast cancer charity, and it was fantastic. There were 9 models. She was one of them, and they'd all had mastectomies or double mastectomies with different reconstruction. And I got to see them all in real life, all side by side. I was able to touch them, and it was just brilliant because when you Google, it's super scary, and I am really, really, really scared about the surgery, still am. But the results were incredible.
Were they?
Oh, my God. They were so, so good. So good. So I was terrified to go there and thought I was going to leave maybe traumatised. But actually, it will be okay. It's going to be hard because the recovery and stuff with the kids. And it's not something I want to really do anyway. But I think... I've got to do it. So.
Yeah, and it's amazing that that's like a positive part of this. You know, you've seen it and it's actually much better.
Oh my God, I'm so glad that I went, and it's so incredible that they run that. I only saw it the night before, thank God, because the next one's in June and it would be too late. So it was really good.
That's really amazing.
Yeah.
We're so proud of you.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Because facing, I mean, that's a huge thing to stand in front of.
I know. I know. And that... They were also so brave in showing us as well. I feel like I would do the same if ever, whenever.
This is what I want to come on to, actually, because I don't think I know many people going through what you're going through at the moment that would come onto a podcast right in the middle of their treatment, not knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And be brave enough to come here to highlight breast cancer in 30 to 40 year old women, because really that's what we're talking about here, aren't we? Is that you don't think it's going to happen to you in your mid 30s.
No.
So anybody listening, what would you say to them if they're thinking, well, did I feel that? Is it there?
Yeah. I would say if you feel any changes at all, because it's not always lumps. It's like if there's puckering, it's really weird. When I was in Spain about a month before, I took my swimming costume off and one of my nipples was like really shriveled, but I was wearing a cold swimsuit. So I just thought it was nothing. But actually in hindsight, that may have also been a sign. But there's puckering, there's nipple discharge. Sometimes it's not even a lump, it's just like a mass. So if there are any changes, go and get it checked, because it really is so important getting diagnosed early. Mm-hmm. That is the most important thing. And it's really scary. And I completely understand now why people avoid, because you don't want to be in this journey I'm in. But it is very, very important to get checked. And it's becoming really common. At first, when I was told I've got the estrogen receptor, they said that because I've had a baby within 2 years, it can sometimes be related to pregnancy, which I didn't know was a thing either, but it can trigger it. So yeah, I've realized a lot of people get it even during pregnancy or in the coming years afterwards. And for like new mums, I hadn't ever really properly checked my boobs.
No. And it's that whole thing of putting yourself to the bottom of the pile because especially when you've got young children, gosh, you don't even have 5 minutes in the shower the time. Yeah. It's as quick as you can be.
100%.
It's a good place to do it, though. Well, yeah. I had a lump scare recently and you take yourself into all kinds of places as to where. I'm just so glad I went.
Yeah, I knew you were.
I'm just so glad I went. You know, my mum had breast cancer last year and she's decided to come off her hormone treatment because it was making her feel so rotten. She said, look, I'm 75 years old. I don't know how long I've got left, but I don't want to feel like this every day. And I just had to say that I respect it's your body. Whatever you want to do, you've got to do it. But I'm so glad she identified it early.
Yeah.
Which was the thing. And that's because she's an advocate. She's checked breasts and she does it, you know, once a week probably in the shower.
Yeah, it's key. And I think if you have larger breasts as well, it would be hard to feel them.
Yeah.
Because mine are small and it was quite deep. You have to really, check properly. Right. They do say the best way is actually laying down. Right. But I know quite a few people have found it in the shower. So check in the shower too.
Yeah.
Just check.
Absolutely. And just before we, I guess, wrap up, what would you say, you know, to somebody whose friend might be going through this or sister or auntie? How should we best support somebody like you? I think in these situations, people find it really difficult.
Yeah. They don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I've been super lucky. I've got amazing friends and a really supportive family that I can talk to. Like, I'm very open. But I think just checking in because it is a lonely journey because there's not many people. I don't know. And none of my friends have gone through it. Mm-hmm. So just checking in because you do spend a lot of time on your own and it's a depressing journey. I've never been depressed, but I have felt it recently because it's circumstantial, you know, like you feel rough, you're doing nothing. My whole life has stopped really in that I've done nothing. I don't socialize as much. I'm not working. Mm. Like it was lovely coming here today, getting dressed up. I never get dressed up. It is a lonely time. So yeah, just checking in. Little gifts really lift. I've had so many flowers and I love flowers, but you know, that makes me happy.
Small gestures.
You know, things like that, good like foods and healthy anti-cancer foods, or sometimes people just doing research on your behalf because you're so overwhelmed. It's quite nice if someone says, oh, this is meant to be really good. Do you want to try it? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was going to ask about that as well. Does that land okay?
For me, it has. Yeah, I haven't had anything over the mark, really. A few times, you know, people question what you're doing. But I haven't shared loads on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. I only started sharing it because I was starting chemo and I couldn't really hide it anymore. So I put it out there and the response was really good for raising awareness. So just kind of showing snippets, but nobody knows as much as I've said here today.
Well, we're really grateful for your honesty.
Thank you
so much. What a beautiful conversation. And I think I probably speak for every single person listening. We are 100% behind you, rooting for you. And we cannot wait to have this conversation again in another 6 months.
6 months to a year when you're done and you're fine. And
will you come back?
Clear.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, like we said before the podcast started today at the top of it, it was a really, really difficult listen, but actually a really important one. And I think Rosie, you know, said that she feels very isolated and that she feels very lonely. And hopefully this podcast will show Rosie that she's not isolated, that she's not alone, that we now know what she's going through and we can all be there to support her. And I'm sure if you felt that you wanted to reach out to Rosie and send her a message to say, you know, I heard the podcast today, you know, I'm sending you some love, I'm sure that would really be well received.
Yeah, definitely. She'd love to hear from you. She's on Instagram and she's actually sharing her journey on there. And when we were recording this episode, she had 30 something days left of chemo. So when this goes out, she's probably only got 2 weeks left. And for her, as she mentioned in the episode, that's like a real, I guess it's a milestone. She's sort of going towards each thing. You know, she might even be able to get on holiday afterwards, because there might be a little bit of a break in her treatment before she has surgery, like all of these things. But she definitely will be needing everyone's positivity and kind messages, because like she said, it really does go a long way, and people's kindness when you're going through something like that is everything, absolutely everything.
Yeah, exactly. So sending all of our love to Rosie and anybody else that was affected by today's podcast. You know that our DMs are always open, and we can't wait to bring you the next installment of our amazing stories here on Made by Mamas. Please could you rate, review, subscribe and give the podcast a little follow if you have time.
Yeah, and if you know anyone who's got an incredible story, it doesn't have to be, you know, around illness, or it doesn't have to be a sad story. It could be like just something bonkers that you know you think people would like to hear. Then do drop the DM on Instagram. We're on at Made by Mamas, and we'll be back on Friday. Made by Mamas is an Insanity Studios production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.